Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and again, thank you to the Ault family for lighting the candles, and what a beautiful day that we have to be able to worship together in the beauty of God's holiness. We are focusing in on faith, and we're looking at how God is using faith to reconcile us to Himself so that we have peace with God. The object of our faith is God. And we have peace in the circumstances of our lives, the trials of our lives, the worries of our lives. We have peace when peace like a river attendeth my way. There is no peace apart from Christ. The world looks for peace in many different ways. The world looks for joy in many different ways. But apart from God, we cannot have true peace. And it is through faith that we see that. So we're going to read now, as we stand up, the famous chapter on faith that comes to us from Hebrews 11. All right. Listen attentively to the word of the Lord. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the people of God old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, his brother, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith alone. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of that same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I'm sure that you have seen cross-stitched or in posters this beautiful verse from Hebrews 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. The Greek word here is hypostasis. Now, some of you who know the word hypostasis, maybe in a medical context or in a philosophical context, understand that hypostasis means that which underlies. Got it? That which underlies. The reality that is there, that is perhaps hidden, but it is still there. Simple illustration. At night, is there still a star 93 million miles away from us that is burning brightly? You can't see it. And yet, you know that it is there. In a similar way, I remember when my wife and I were raising our kiddos. We had three of them. And what a joy, firstborn and those first few weeks and those first few months. Maybe some of you remember playing peekaboo with your kids. Well, the first months of a child's life, they don't get that you're still there if you're hiding behind a blanket. But slowly and gradually, beginning around the fourth month, there is this notion that somehow is connecting in their brain that psychologists call object permanence. So that, like, they know that you're there, that you're hidden behind the blanket, and they're like reaching for you, and then you go peekaboo, and they're laughing. Object permanence. It's this notion that you know in your head that even though the thing that you believe in you cannot see, it's still there, like the sun, like dad hiding behind a blanket. There's a certain notion of faith there, of hypostasis, the substance of things not seen. It is the evidence of things not seen. C.S. Lewis famously said that, "I believe in Christianity like I believe in the sun. For not only do I see everything by it," he said, "I know that it's there." And he, another thing that he said, and I thought this was interesting as I was looking at C.S. Lewis quotes, is, "If Christianity is false, it is of no importance. And if it is true, it is of infinite importance. But don't say that it is only of moderate importance." You understand that he's saying there's no middle line there with faith. It's either true, and then it's not significant, or it is true, and that it is infinitely significant. And here's the truth about those people in this story. They were believing in something, but they were longing for something that they hadn't really seen. They saw evidence, yeah? It's like the wind. You see the wind blowing, and you see the leaves moving, but you can't see the wind itself. I was talking with somebody this week about tulips and daffodils. Now is the time to plant tulips and daffodils. And you dig a hole in the soil, and you throw those ugly-looking onion-like bulbs, thank you very much, onion-like bulbs, and you cover it up, and you don't see anything, but there's something underlying. There's a hypostasis. There is a reality there that you laid those down, and come spring, with the warming of the sun and the rains, those bulbs will blossom into something that is so beautiful. It's just crazy beautiful. It's unimaginable. Tulips and daffodils. Hypostasis. You understand what we're getting at? It is that reality that underlies, even though you can't see it. And this is the truth about Abel and about Noah and about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. They were going along. And we know the story of faith of Abel. He presented a sacrifice to the Lord, and so did his brother. There was something wrong with Cain's sacrifice. Most likely there was something wrong with Cain's heart. God even told him, you know, "If your heart's in the right place, will I not accept your sacrifice? But be careful, Cain, because sin is crouching at the door, and it wants to master you, but you must master it." Isn't that the story of each and every one of us? Sin is crouching at the door. Temptation is waiting, inviting. Come on in. Be our guest. Be our guest. But the scripture says you must master it. You must not allow it to master you. And it takes some faith to have that attitude. Because if there is no Christianity, if there is no God, then eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And isn't that a philosophy of the world? You Christians? You've given up all that? There's nothing on the other side. This is all there is, this material existence that we have. Isn't that not the philosophy of the world? And in many ways, it is the philosophy of our very materialistic culture, even though we give, you know, kind of tip our hat to the fact that God exists. But in reality, many of us are practical atheists. Do you know what a practical atheist is? It's like, yeah, you give lip service to the fact that there's a God, but practically speaking, in your life, you live as though you are God, that there is no God above. That's not what Abel did. It's not what Enoch did. These people pleased God, not just with their words, but also with their offerings, with the offering of their life. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of God. Have you heard that song or familiar with that scripture? I wonder sometimes, what is the sacrifice of praise? I think to myself that there are times when I don't feel like praising the Lord. And it is a sacrifice for me to do so. But even in the hard times, even when you don't feel like it, and maybe especially when you don't feel like it, when it really is a sacrifice, God sees your heart and He sees your offering. And it is so beautiful to Him. It is so winsome. It moves His heart toward you. This scripture that we read talked about Abel and his offering and Enoch, about how he walked with God and how it pleased God. And it talked about Abraham. And Abraham is like really one of the prime examples of faith in the Old Testament. He gets called kind of out of the blue, far, far away. Abraham, I'm going to bring you to a beautiful place. It's the promised land. And I'm going to make a great nation of you, and I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through you. Will you respond in faith? And he packed up and he left. And what does the scripture say about Abraham? It's, he didn't see it. He didn't experience the very thing that God promised to him. But he knew that he was looking forward to a city whose architect and builder is God. The author of Hebrews builds on that theme, and he talks about Jesus Christ as the architect of that beautiful city. When we talk about waiting in faith, in the midst of the trials of our lives, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of our doubts and our questions, when people disappoint us and people let us down, and we are hurt and we are wounded and we are struggling, the author of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. You understand? He's saying that in light of all of these beautiful people from old, the ancients, who walked in faith when they didn't even see it, but they believed in the substance and the evidence despite that, because they knew that it was true. Let us run this race, and let us keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and who is the perfecter of our faith, and let us kind of push off every encumbrance, every sin that so easily entangles us. John talks about the struggles that we have. He talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Listen, this is a real deal. When we are running this race, we're going to get tripped up. That's what it says there. Shed these things that so easily trip us, these besetting sins that try to pull us down as we're running this race. Don't let that happen. We don't have to let it happen because we have the Spirit of Christ within us. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. We have stuff inside of us. That's the flesh. That's the sinful tendencies of our selfishness that are fighting against us. There's a battle within. Don't mistake that. There's also a battle from without, the world. There are things that are impinging upon us. There are people that are doing things against us, that are pulling us down in our faith. Let's be aware of that. Let's not be, you know, glass half full, you know, rose-colored glasses, everything is good. Because in that moment, be careful. Because the enemy of your soul is seeking to pounce. And that's the third one, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is the prince of the air, the scripture says. He is ready to pounce on you. We struggle with the world and the flesh and the devil. But as I said, in Christ, by faith, we do not need to walk in shame for our sin, whether it is from within or it is impinged upon us from outside. We have peace with God by faith. We are all looking forward to something. One day, our faith shall be sight. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but don't be afraid. I'm going ahead. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's what Jesus said. Jesus was in heaven, the scripture says, and he came down in the incarnation. Now let me ask you this. If I decide that I want to take a beautiful tropical vacation, I don't care if it's St. Martin's or Fiji, and I look at a brochure and I flip through the pages and I see a picture of Fiji and a description of Fiji, is that Fiji? No, it's colored ink on paper. It is not the real thing. But that speaks of the hypostasis, the substance that is underneath that. Why? Because there are witnesses that say, oh yeah, I went to that place and let me tell you, it is beautiful. You want to go there. And when you go there, you're going to be amazed. We trust the witness and testimony of people who have been there. And that's how we can go and put our money down and get in the plane and fly there and actually believe that there's a place called Fiji that is beautiful. And so it is with the city of God. And so it is with the holy city that Abraham looked toward, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus said, and he is a witness, and his testimony is sure. Why? Because he was there. He was in heaven before he came. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you long for that place? Are you looking forward with your eyes toward that holy city? Jesus is there. He's calling us to run this race with joy. And I know, hey, that could be far off for some of us. That could be tomorrow for some of us. Let's just be realistic. But even if it's 80 years from now, you teenagers who are sitting here and might live to be into your 90s, and I hope you do, unless the Lord comes back again. And that would be awesome too. The lifespan of a human being is like the twinkling of the eye. Okay? In terms of human history, in terms of the world history, in terms of eternity. Soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. Let us walk by faith along that path as we run to Him. Thanks be to God. Amen.